This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Touchdown, Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
In case you missed the breaking news from about 10 or 15 minutes ago, Jonathan Allen given permission to seek a trade by the Washington Commanders. What is your reaction to that? Give us some of your thoughts on his career here as a Redskin slash Commander. I mean, pretty durable guy outside of his rookie and last seasons where he played five and eight games respectively. In between, he played 16, 15, 16, 17, 16 and 16 games in a position where, I mean, you get beat up a lot. You take on double teams all the time.
Played 109
like the dude
games.
Is a warrior. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was on this show many times over the years. Best of luck to him in his next stop. But it's looking like he's played his last game in a Commander's uniform.
But I think when you look back on it, I think you got to pair him with Daron Payne, right?
Mm-hmm.
They tried to build a winner by drafting back-to-back first-round picks of defensive tackles. And
which some people
is kind of a failed experiment.
It's kind of insanity to do that.
Yeah.
I think when you look back on it, both of them may be fine individual players. And, you know, John made the Pro Bowl twice and were impact players. But that's not how you build a winner in the league anymore.
No. It's kind of an outdated concept.
You want a good D-line.
Yeah.
We raved about what the Eagles were able to do in the Super Bowl. They dominated on the offensive line and defensive line, but that's not where you start.
It kind of speaks to sort of the lack of talent they had around them.
Yeah.
That they were their biggest name guy.
Because you're right, because the Eagles already had the offensive talent, and then they drafted those defensive tackles in the first round. They did back-to-back years.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Carter and they drafted Davis. But you're correct. It doesn't start with the defensive line. It starts with the quarterback.
Got to have the quarterback. Yeah. And look, it wasn't just Allen and Payne. They drafted Chase Young. They drafted Jamin Davis. They spent a lot of first-round draft choices.
Too.
Yeah, Montez Sweat. They spent a lot of first-round picks on defense.
That was supposed to be sort of the anchor, the foundation of this football team.
You have to have defense. We get that. We're not saying... don't get defense. No,
but we all, everybody knows, and I've been saying this for years, offense is more important. Yeah. Finding a quarterback, the right quarterback, and surrounding him with weapons is more important than drafting two big guys to stuff on your defensive line.
And you could argue, and I would argue, the Eagles would not have won the Super Bowl this year unless they did make that move for Saquon Barkley.
Right. Offensive piece. Offensive push them piece. Over the top.
Yeah. So even though they had the stud quarterback and the stud receivers and the stud defensive tackles, I don't think they win the Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley. So it just takes all of the right pieces. You know, it's hard to win a freaking Super Bowl. You got to have really good players pretty much everywhere.
Now,
but it was just too much defense. 2017, Jonathan Allen, first-round pick.
Yeah.
2018, Daron Payne, first-round pick. Okay, then they had two in 2019. One of them was Dwayne Haskins with Montez Sweat. Then Chase Young, then Jamin Davis. So five straight years from 2017 all the way through Chase Young in 2020. Defense, first-round picks. So four straight guys. Oh, no, and then Jamin Davis in 2021.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, five straight years.
Yeah.
Ian Rappaport also, kind of the same, as the story was breaking at the same time, said that they're working together on it. And that his quote is, Washington plans to do right by the player, and Allen's camp is involved in helping him land at the right spot.
Which makes sense because he's been nothing but a class guy the entire time he's been here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, he's
great,
been
a great face for the organization.
For sure.
Veteran leader.
Stand-up guy.
Never an issue of anything off the field with Jonathan Allen. Just like the type of guy. You want a bunch of those guys in your locker room.
Why didn't we use him for the tush push? The guy squats 600 pounds. Put him behind center. Why not?
I don't know.
You're going to stop him?
Send that memo to Cliff Kingsbury.
Too late. It's too late. We botched it.
Now you use Daron Payne and Johnny Newton.
The probability of our pool party at Jonathan Allen's has gone down even
greatly
more.
Greatly diminished. Yeah.
Not that it was ever high.
Do you understand?
No,
we never, ever capitalize on those things. Yeah. Zim invited us to his house. John Allen invited us to his house. The only one we went to was Cooley's, and then his career fell apart.
Cakes has been to Loxley's.
I have been to Loxley's house on a few
occasions. But still hasn't been in the pool.
I have not. Well, to be fair, nobody gets in the pool.
Right.
The pool just sits there.
That's the way to go. That's the way to be memorable.
That is true. Do a cannonball into the pool, into Lox's pool.
All right,
let's go to the phones.
Let's go to the phones if you want to chime in on it. Are you okay with them splitting up the duo of Daron Payne and John Allen?
I'll
it is kind of sad to see a hometown
it
guy.
It is, but I'll be shocked if there's one person that's clamoring for them to stay together.
Yeah, I think that we need a change.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely
it's time for
an issue.
Parting of the ways.
Yeah.
Look, they drafted Johnny Newton. They want a spot for Johnny Newton, too. So,
well, those guys were rotating and playing a lot.
Yeah, I know, but Johnny Newton's going to be the guy.
He's going to get a crack at it.
He's going to get a big bump in playing time in 2025.
Correct.
All right, 800-636-1067. How do you feel about it? What's kind of the legacy? Just to put it in context, 401 tackles during his career here, 42 sacks. Now, you know, your D-tackle guy is not going to have, 10 sacks a year. But he did have a couple years where he had 8, 9 sacks, 7.5.
He's a two-time Pro Bowler.
Very, very impactful player here. Let's go to Anthony, Ellicott City. Anthony, what's up? 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, guys. It's an honor to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
I love Jonathan Allen, but I think it's the right move. I mean, they weren't going to re-sign him beyond, he would only been with us one more season. So if we can get something for him, at this point, I don't think it's a slap in the face to him. And if he's able to, along with his agents, find the right spot, I think it works out for everybody. I do have one question. You guys were talking about the $17 million for him next year. Will that be added to the number that's already floating out there of available cap space?
I would assume. I don't know exactly how that works, but
I'm not a capologist, but I would think if it saves you $15 million,
added to it. Yeah.
So that would put them up around $99 million ish in cap space.
All right. Yep. Then I'll double down on it. Yeah. That'll be a great move.
Look, yeah. Thank you for the call.
Thanks,
buddy. I love Jonathan Allen, but when that pairing allows 137.5 yards per game, third worst in the league, and I understand he missed half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't run that back in 2025, especially when the guy has no guaranteed money left on his deal.
No, I totally agree. And that's why I think all of this, listen, I want to have superstars at every position too, but the defense has to be the first part we address. And I think this is an indicator that's going to be addressed.
Yeah. And teams are interested. They're calling. They were calling the Commanders about him.
They're going to probably want to, I would assume they're going to want to restructure a deal and maybe have something in place before mm-hmm. they trade him. And it'd be a location where he and his wife want to be.
Possibility, yeah.
They have a new child, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to Romeo in Manassas. Romeo, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Romeo.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, so like I was saying, man, I feel like they should break that duo up. Because like I said, I'm not saying nothing bad about Jonathan Allen. He's a great guy, stand-up guy.
Yeah.
And been nothing but a class act.
Right.
But I feel last year the team did a lot better with him off the field than on the field. And, man, of course, he had a couple good plays in the playoffs, you know, when he did come back. Mm-hmm. But on the same end, I think give them younger guys a chance to get at it. And Adam Peterson got a great mind on his head, so he's definitely going to do the right thing. That hopefully we can get Khalil Mack and another player to match. Hopefully we get
Is it Khalil
Garrett.
Like 33?
You want to get Garrett and Mack, don't you?
I'd love to get both of them, but that's a dream. That's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
But we're definitely going to get two edge rushers. I would say more of a Khalil Mack, and I would go after like Sweat or somebody from.
I'm with you. I want to take away from the Eagles.
Mack's still getting it done, though. I just looked at his PFF grade. So mm-hmm. we had mentioned Jonathan Allen's PFF grades last week. Mm-hmm. And they were really low.
Yeah.
Yeah, in one of the games. But overall, they were really low. Khalil Mack was, in terms of overall for defensive ends, this year, fifth out of 211.
Fifth, yeah.
So I'm going to sign him to a one-year. If you want to sign him to a one-year, fine. I'm fine with that.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. Romeo, are you with me where I'm kind of keep needling cakes? Who all he wants to do is draft 100 offensive players.
I never said that. You're putting words in my mouth.
No, he just wants 100 offensive players, and he doesn't want to do anything to the defense.
Nah, you got to do defense. As you can see, Philly beat the dog due to us over the defense.
Right.
So
okay, that's fine.
I mean, we
JP
got
just
to
mentioned the multiple
up.
Years of drafting defensive players high. Where did it get this team? Got him a bunch
well,
of
them. I'm not saying every year. I'm not season. Saying by the next 5 years.
He's getting the face.
But you got to think, that's the old regime. That's the old regime. We on a whole new era.
Right.
So, of course, the Ron Rivera crew, yeah, they was hit and miss. It was a 50-50
Mostly
shot.
Mostly miss.
No, they were way worse than
Nobody
that.
Nobody misses.
They were way worse than that. In fact, I can't think right. of any hits.
I would agree with both
then,
of you guys.
And then on the same end, you got to feel that, hey, it was the coaches in general. Dan Quinn and the other guy, they can do a lot more.
Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury.
Thank you, Romeo. We appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right, so the last 3 years, if you want to take the Eagles, they've been drafting in the first round just defense. Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Quinyon Mitchell. Two drafts before that, wide receiver. One of them hit, Devontae right. Smith. Jalen Reagor, that's a whiff.
Right.
Okay, but they traded for A.J. Brown.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, the reason they won Super Bowl is because Saquon Barkley put up 2,000 yards. Yeah,
nobody's going to disagree with you there.
It's not because of the those other guys helped.
Yeah, it's not because of Jalen Carter.
But the main reasons.
You know why we didn't win the Super Bowl or even really have a realistic shot? Because we couldn't stop people when we had to.
Couldn't stop them, yeah.
They also drafted Jalen Hurts high in the second round.
I would agree.
When they already had a quarterback in Carson Wentz, who they drafted in the first round.
I would agree with both of you.
They knew Carson Wentz was a fraud, and so that's why they drafted Jalen
Hurts.
Let me
know when I can talk.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I would agree with both of you. I think you're right. I think they certainly have to address the defense, but Cakes is right, too. They have to address the offense. They got to be balanced.
I don't know. I don't know how you balance. You got one first-round pick.
Well, there's free agency. There's free agency.
Okay, right. In a mediocre free agency
class. I mean,
class.
If you have 34 free agents, all right, that means you got a bunch of money to spend.
If you had to emphasize one over the other, I'm emphasizing the defense over the offense, much to Cake's chagrin.
I will always emphasize offense over defense.
Okay, our defense was butt That needs to be addressed more than the offense. But even with those scrubbinis, score 29 a game.
I want to score 32 a game.
You can do that.
I want to score 35
It'll be interesting if they stay where they are in the draft at number 29, what position they go. Do they go offensive tackle or do they go
I'm not saying
defense?
They have do they to go do edge rusher? If you have that Ohio State receiver there, I might say go get him.
I think I invest in offense Igbuka. In the draft more so and kind of follow what the Bengals seem to do with Burrow. I know they missed the playoffs this year, but they got Burrow, then they drafted Chase, and then they got offensive linemen so that you have this group of kind of young...
Proven commodities.
Young draft choices that you believe in that can grow together. You obviously need to get to improve the defense. The defense sucked.
We're not going
to win. It was a little bit better than the year before.
We got no shot at getting to 10 wins. Like, you guys want to get to 10 wins again? We got no shot at getting there if we don't dramatically improve
the defense. Sure they do.
Because
they have Jaden Daniels.
He can't do it by himself.
I agree with that. Add a few more pieces around him, he's even better.
And by the way, what if Lattimore does...
He sucks.
Rebound.
It's over, Johnny.
I don't know that it's over.
There's
what if he becomes the lockdown corner that he was... Look, he was sold as this lockdown corner.
He's not capable. I watched. They run by him. Okay? He has to grab him to keep up.
He's physical.
No. He's a higher paid St. Juiced. More physical, higher paid St. Juiced.
That's not a great comp. I don't think you ever want to be comp St. Juiced.
He's a bulkier, meaner St. Juiced.
But again, they're going to... I mean, what they do in free agency will kind of tell you what they're going to do in the draft, I would think. You know, if they're emphasizing defense in free agency, then maybe they're going offensive in the draft. Yeah,
that's great. Like I say, I would go for... What did we have? Three Eagles that were like the top three defensive free agents?
The top three guys, according to, you know, some of these reports.
Was it Bond? Sweat. Bond. Those are my two targets.
And then Williams, who cakes like.
Yeah. Young defensive lineman, which could come into play with Jonathan Allen on the move.
Take all three of them. Take all three of them, then I'll be thrilled.
Pluck.
And then you can do whatever you want in the draft. You can draft Shanty, the receivers, and all 100 running backs.
Yeah, the problem is you can bolster that defense, and then you're still going to face Saquon Barkley and that offensive line, and nobody stopped them.
Let's go to James real quick. He wants to keep Jonathan Allen.
James, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Jets?
What's up,
hey, buddy? Hey, man. First of all, love John Allen. I think he was a stand-up dude. And I think, you know, for years that he's been there, he's put in 100% effort. And he was the one that was most frustrated calling for change and support. So he's a vocal leader. I think Deron Payne is the one that needs to move on. And I think they should make some type of trade because the guy, he stepped up. Got paid, and then I feel like he was another flop on the field ever since then. So my vote is to keep John Allen, move on from Payne, and get you a Myles Garrett or a Khalil Mack. But I'm going to say this, man. You guys got to focus on the offense, man. Get T. Higgins. Get another weapon on offense. Stop relying on these third and fourth guy wide receivers that when the big-time plays are needed, they're not there, man. Jaden needs heat around him. He needs to be developed with some great wide receivers and tight ends. Will was Sennett all year, man. That guy should have been Brock Bowers, and they never used him.
Well, we don't know. One of them was drafted very high, by the way. Sennett wasn't drafted nearly as high as Brock Bowers.
No.
But to his pain point, though.
Like, that's a pretty high pick.
Payne in 2022, 11.5 sacks. Since then, in two seasons, 8 sacks.
Not great. Production's falling off. I mean, you can't get rid of both guys in the offseason. They're choosing to let Jonathan Allen walk.
In 2022, Deron Payne had 18 tackles for loss. He's played every game since. Two seasons, every game, and he's totaled 18 tackles for loss. So half the production of what he gave you in 2022.
What was the PFF grade on Allen for Payne for the year?
They were similar. They were both
in the 80s or something. Yeah. Right?
Well, I think below that.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dierks Bentley at Jiffy Lube Live. So keep listening for your chance to win. Looking to upgrade your office game? Of course you are. Swing by PVI Office Furniture, where we've got everything you need to take your workspace from the bench right to the big leagues, my friends. Whether you're drafting up the next great idea or just need a power play when it comes to comfort, PVI has got the perfect lineup of desks, chairs, and accessories as well. Mention the Fan and you score 15% off your in-store purchase. Don't miss your shot. Hit the ice at PVI Office Furniture today and elevate your workspace like a true champion. PVI.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Office Furniture, where productivity nets you that hat trick. Visit us at PVI.com because business grows with PVI.
Still, I got Beamish and Philly, 106.7 The Fan. Right now, calling number 10 to 1-800-636-1067. You win a pair of tickets to the Wizards on Wednesday, March 5th versus Utah. The first 10,000 fans in attendance get a special G-Wiz bobblehead courtesy of Capital One. Don't miss all the mascot fun, including appearances from Franklin the Dog, Benny the Bull, and the Blue Blob. You won't want to miss any of the action. Grab your tickets today. All right, get you ready for the Combine. JP is up there with the Combine now. So as we go through the week, we get ready for everybody to get out there and start moving around. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock on NFL Network, you get a chance to look at the defensive linemen and the linebackers go through all their drills. On Friday, it's going to be the defensive backs and tight ends. It's going to be Saturday, starting at 1 p.m., quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs, and then the big guys on the offensive line who protect the quarterbacks. Offensive linemen will be doing all their work at 1 o'clock. And we have heard a lot about this being a draft where we have a lot of damn good defensive linemen. It's going to be very strong in that situation. I believe that Washington will be definitely paying attention on that side because they are going to try their best to strengthen up their defense, which they need. And then I think on Sunday they'll be looking again with offensive linemen. I'm a little different than a lot of people that listen to us on a daily basis. I know a lot of fans, all you talk about and think about are skill positions, and that's nice. You know, they sell a lot of jerseys. But if you don't have the big boys to protect them, they can't do their job. We saw last year, we got to a point in the midway through the season, right around 7-8 games in, offensive linemen started to get banged up. Didn't have enough depth to keep the offense rolling how it was. We lost 3 games in a row. We watched the defensive side of the ball, where teams were able to run the ball at will a lot of times. And a lot of times it had nothing to do with the actual scheme. It's just that you don't have the right horses. For me, I don't sit here and try to act like I know every player coming out of college. No one does. There are a bunch of guys that are coming out that's going to go high, first through 10, 11, 12. We're not going to get them. But I have a lot of confidence in Adam Peters, and I believe that he's going to get someone who's going to be effective. We watched last year in the draft. The guys they drafted perform higher than their position. I know we want first-round picks, but there's not a football team in history that has all first-rounders. Okay? No team ever had all first-rounders, but they still find a way to win because that GM has to be on the right mindset with a coach. Maybe a guy you find in the second, the third round, but they have a skill level that you believe you can get a lot out of, and you have to start working with that. I feel they need to go heavy O-line and D-line. You can fill other positions, but I'm not, and I know Adam has stated that we want to build through the draft. That doesn't mean that he's going to have only drafted players. Sometimes you got to circumvent that by bringing in a player of a caliber. And I'm going to say his name. I don't know what happened with that, whether they get him or not. Miles Garrett. You know, you look at a guy like him. Hendrickson, a guy like that guy. If you can get that guy for a proper price or a proper trade position, you do it. Because when the season starts, I don't think anyone's going to care what were you drafted or were you brought here because of free agency or did they trade for you. All you're going to care about is the guys producing at a high level on the field. So when I start looking around, when I look at football, I am comparing our team to the better teams around the league. And we don't have to look damn far because we look right up the road. Baltimore is right there, and you go up the road a little bit farther, Philadelphia. Those are the type of teams I look at. And what do they normally do well? They protect their quarterback, damn good offensive line, and they disrupt the other team's quarterback, damn good defensive line. We have to compete with Philly twice a year. And that's where your mind should be. How can you make it to where it's damn near an even battle when our O-line is against their D-line and when their O-line is against our D-line. We have to find out a way to get that going on because I don't care if you go get T. Higgins, whoever. If you don't improve the other stuff, Jay won't have enough time to throw the ball to him. You go jump in your car, you don't care about how pretty that damn car looks. You care about how good your engines are going to run, how long it's going to run strong for you. And you want to make sure your transmission is working right too. That's the way I compare and describe football teams. Offensive line, defensive line. Your motor and your transmission are the big dudes that show up on a consistent basis. And then as we begin to go through this draft and maybe later on they may find some other guy, I don't think offensively we had the biggest problem. We were able to score with the best of them. We were able to score on good defenses. But we had issues when we couldn't block them up completely. But then you flip it over, teams were able to move the ball on us. And it was like at will at sometimes. The way that the first play of the game in the NFC Championship game, That told me at that point, we need to get some better D linemen. We got to go for it. And I know when it starts up, everybody looks for the sexy position. Nothing sexier than an offensive lineman, I think, blocking for you. Or a defensive lineman collapsing a pocket and making a quarterback have to run for his life and worry about stuff. That's where we have to get. I love how our fans get excited about certain things. But let's just start realizing sometimes it's not about the sexy pick. Every time somebody becomes free, we don't have to get them. I mean, it amazes me that every time there's a free agent, we are the loudest and want everybody. When are we going to ever get to the point where, you know what, we're good enough? We just got to add certain pieces. And everybody on every team, the ones that cause a lot of damn problems, you don't want them on your football team? Now, if you're at a point where you are right there, you need one little piece, then you might be willing to deal with a headache. But Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, and crew are in a position right now where they're trying to build something that's long and sustainable. And if you try to get every knucklehead out there, you don't get to that point. You build culture, you build foundations by having the right people around that are going to carry on what you're trying to present. And I believe that every knucklehead out there will mess that up some. And yes, he may be the fastest. They may seem like they're the strongest, but if there's someone that constantly have your team battling, bumping heads, pulling apart from each other, that doesn't help the chemistry. That doesn't help you to flow in the right direction. So I'm just asking you all, try it once. Somebody become free. They become available. We don't have to try to go after them. Because in essence, we cannot get everybody. These people have a plan. They have a map of what they want to do. They have a mindset of the type of people they want to bring here. Let them do that. I know all of us, I'm going to put myself in it, we think we're smarter than the person that put the team together. We think we're smarter than the coaches, but we're not. We don't look at enough film. We don't follow enough people, don't have the proper information to ever think that we could do better than them people.
B, I am back. Did you miss me?
Nope.
I
was just on my soapbox.
I believe it.
Yeah.
DQ just talked at length, and it was very interesting. His last answer was to a question from Ben Standig that really, I feel like I heard a specific player being mentioned. Standig asked kind of what does he need from skill positions, like how do they look to get better there? And Dan spoke in very much generalities throughout his conversation, and he was very deflective of being named the top coach in the NFL by the NFLPA.
Be deflective all you want, man. Accept that.
Right.
Dan, acting like you. Don't want people to give you compliments. What the hell is wrong with y'all?
Right. I think, but his last answer, he talked about violence, and he talked about wanting offensive players that can play with violence. And he talked about being aggressive in your cuts. He's talking about skill position players. And to me, hearing all that, I feel like I heard one specific dude, like Deebo Samuel. If you had to describe a violent offensive skill position player,
yeah,
does he not immediately come to mind?
Definitely. But that he has to stay healthy with that violence, though.
Totally, totally. There's challenges to all of it,
yeah.
Right? And I think with Quinn, it's pretty damn fascinating. He talked about Bobby Wagner repeatedly, and he kept joking that you got to ask Bobby Wagner's agent what Bobby wants to do, because Bobby Wagner's his own agent. He acts in his own interest.
Well, you get to Bobby's point in the career, and you're as smart as he is, hell, you do right to represent yourself.
Sure. Quinn was asked about Jaden, And he said, you know, the thing with Jaden is that it's all about he's constantly trying to get better. And then unprompted, he brought up Wagner. He's like, I know Bobby Wagner somewhere getting better today. It stands out to me that Dan Quinn wants Bobby Wagner back. And then it also stood out. Somebody in the crowd yelled, are you worried Pete Carroll's going to try to steal him? And DQ said the same reply, you'd have to ask Bobby's agent. So I thought that was all pretty interesting.
See, Dan has that little, like, quick and dry sense of humor.
Totally, dude.
Yeah, I like that.
And he's generous with his time. And I think even beyond that, it's like for DQ, he owns the brotherhood. Like, all of the stuff, that the intangible stuff that locker room had that is hard to put your finger on or properly describe, mm-hmm. like, they had all that, right? And he gives all the credit to the players, but a big part of it is him and the culture he builds and how he approaches each day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to acknowledge, like, listen, man, whatever you guys did last year, what do you always say about your gumbo? You got to start with a roux, and no roux is the same every time. Yep. It's a new batch, right?
That's the way I look at it.
Next year is going to be a new batch, period. Mm-hmm. And there's no guarantee that it'll go as well as it did this year. And he said, I thought it was a really good line. He's like, yeah, you know, technically the new league year is next, you know, 2 weeks from now. But to coaches' minds, this is the new league year. Like, we're here. We know no two teams will ever be the same.
Nope.
And we know that this is the time of year where business and football intersect.
Totally.
And we're seeing it unfold with John Allen, right? Like, these things are going to happen. There's going to be decisions they have to make. And it's that's just the reality of pro football.
Yeah, it is. But the thing, listen, everybody deals with this thing differently. We as fans and media people, we want all the news, and we're looking for the excitement level. The coaches are like, how can I make this thing as easy as it was the previous year? Or as different as it was the previous year if you suck. You
right.
know what I mean? And when you had a year like they did, you want to keep momentum going. And they are in a position now where, yes, they got to get great talent. But they also got to be people that they think can fit in with everybody else, to where you have a smooth transition instead of people that's bumping heads with everybody. So it's a little tougher for them. But they got to go through the motions and get it done.
I mean, this is the mechanical part of the offseason. Like, this is the perfunctory functionality. You know what I mean? Like, this is kind of what has to happen for DQ to then do everything. Well, a couple other interesting things. I asked him about keeping the coaching staff together. He said he was really excited. One thing that I have 100% noticed that he said was, one of the things he loves is when he says something in the coaches' meeting and then he hears it later in the day, later in the week from one of his players. And that means not only are the coaches receiving his message, but then they're disseminating his message. And yeah. I'll be very, very honest. Like, over the years in Washington, you have had absolute factions within coaching staffs.
Oh, hell yeah.
Guys that outright hated each other and guys that undercut each other. And there's none of that. Keeping Cliff around is obviously huge. Another one that I thought was interesting is they asked, I think Nikki specifically asked him about keeping David Blau. Because if you remember, they didn't necessarily allow Blau mm-hmm. to interview elsewhere.
Yeah.
And she said, is keeping David Blau about Blau or about continuity for Jaden? And DQ was like, I want to be crystal clear. This is about David Blau. This guy is a very special coach. I was blown away. That was his first year of coaching. We see great things for Blau. And in my big-eared brain, it's very easy for me to process. When Cliff leaves next year, Blau's the OC.
But I think the whole thing about it is, we talked about this for years, where we were talking about every coach that was around the league doing well. And we let all
of- Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me get out of the building. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I guess he's saying in this sense, listen, I'm not going to go out here and bring coaches around and start, you know, get them to blossom for everybody else to get their the fruits of my labor. I'm going to keep them right in my building. And if someone wants to get them, you're going to have to come make them something higher. But I'm not going to let them, I'm not going to let no just, you know, a little even move make happen. It's not going to happen. I'm going to need you to, if you want them, come get them.
The other big development NFL news-wise today, Danny, the NFLPA survey dropped. So this is year three of this NFLPA survey. And this is normally a dreaded day around these parts.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 years, Washington has graded 32nd of 32 teams in the NFLPA team report cards. So the way this works, for those of you that don't remember, there are right around 10 categories that players are polled on, secret ballot style, where they get to grade their employer. You might do this in your own workplace, by the way.
Absolutely, yeah.
We get a little email like this where it's like, what's good, what isn't about working where you work? And so the NFLPA, the union for the players, then compiles all of the grading from every single player. It's like a 1 to 10 scale. They grade based on the numbers, letter grades for every team in every category, and then they assign 1 to 32 the overall report card, and for lack of a better phrase, I just say the best to the worst team to work for. These are things like, how do you treat the family of the players? Food and dining area. Does it taste good? Is it fresh? And do I have a nice cafeteria to eat in? Nutritionist, dietitian. Do I have someone coaching me up well? The locker room, which a lot of the teams with the dated and antiquated facilities like Washington get a really bad grade in that. Training room, training staff, the weight room, strength coaches, team travel. What kind of plane are we flying on? Do we have enough space? Is our schedule when we travel efficient? Am I having to sleep in the same room as someone in a hotel like the Dallas Cowboys make their players do the night before a game, which is comical? And then head coach and ownership. And that's my favorite categories, if I'm being honest, because it's just like secret. How much do you like your boss? Which coaches are popular? Which are not? Which owners are popular? Which are hated? Well, Danny, after 2 years of being dead last, 32 out of 32, based on players not liking working for the Commanders, and before that, the football team, this year they ranked 11th, just outside of the top 10. What a turnaround.
Yeah, pretty clear. The turnaround is there, and it's obvious. They're limited mainly by the facilities, right? Outdated. You can do as much lipstick as you want on Nubs Field to Dashburn. It's not a good setup. So I don't think you can get much higher than that, to be honest with you. What you can do is everything else. You can be first class in everything from training staff, strength and conditioning, treatment of families, whether it's, you know, travel, just doing everything possible to be kind and to be thoughtful and be generous and not worry about how much something costs. You just do the right thing and know that it'll come back to you in the end. Know that it'll come out in the wash. I mean, we heard these stories. I don't know if this is unique to the NFL or you know, to this team rather than other places. I have no idea. I've never experienced it, though. A guy gets hurt, and Adam Peters immediately, you know, goes down to the locker room where a family member or somebody else can't go, and he's texting the spouse. He's texting the dad who he knew happened to be in the stadium at that point. Or he's texting, you know, somebody's younger brother who was there. Hey, this is what's going on. We're taking him to the emergency room. Or, not a big deal, it's a sprained ankle. He'll be back in a couple of weeks. Whatever that is, that's first class. I mean, it just is. That is the understanding that somebody's going through it, understanding that there's anxiety from loved ones, and you're doing everything you possibly can. That's above and beyond. Now, it may not seem like that big a deal, but you do that in all walks all the time. Yeah, it's better. Because some skeptic's going to tell you, it's because they won a bunch of games. Yeah, that helps. It's not worth 21 spots, though. A lot of teams that won a bunch of games didn't necessarily do that.
Well, they're just controlling the controllables. The things that they can actually positively change and affect and influence without having a new stadium and a new facility, all were on a rocket ship toward not just better grades, but A's and A pluses. They have the highest rated head coach in Dan Quinn, according to player polling this year. 1 out of 32 in terms of the score that was given to Dan Quinn by his players. They have a top 10 owner now in terms of popularity among players. They got an A grade there. Josh Harris, 8 out of 32 owners. They got an A for team travel. They got an A for their strength coaches. Again, this is just player graded, right? A lot of these guys, and especially this year, 24 of their players came from outside the building. They've been in other buildings. They've been at other stops. They came here and were so impressed this year by how Washington was doing it. It's not like you're a career commander who's been here 4 years and just the improvement year over year was so big. No, these are guys like Wagner, who's been with the Rams and the Seahawks, or Austin Eckler, who's been with the Chargers, who came here and said, I really, really like this. B-plus for the training staff. B-plus for the food and dining after they got F-grades in that category over the last couple of years. B-plus for how they treated families. A B-minus for their weight room. Now, you said it. A lot of the issue that they have is just going to be facilities. C-plus in the training room for basically where they get their work done. And then an F in the locker room, because the guys said they don't have enough space, it's not nice enough, whatever. Until you get your new stadium, mm-hmm. and that also means you're going to get your new training facility, wherever that is, there's only so much you can do there. Maybe you could put some blush on that pick. But for the most part, Danny, you're basically looking at, what, a D, hopefully a C-minus grade? But to go from 32 to 11, I still remember the quote at the end of last season, I think it was, when Josh Harris did a press conference and he was asked about the NFLPA scores that came out. And he said, I'm not an F-minus guy. We're not going to do F-minus work. We won't stand for that. Well, he put his money where his mouth is.
Yep.
We saw it literally with the stadium, $70 million. And you're seeing it in this polling with the stuff that we don't get to see, that the players get to see. But I think a big part of this is Adam Peters, who's just a human being with human skills and high EQ and treats people really well, who sets the front office culture. I think a huge part of this is Dan Quinn, same thing.
Yep.
Good human being with good people-to-people skills. They had some of that. Like, Ron Rivera was a beloved guy and yep. a liked coach. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't suggest that some of this was the fact that they won a bunch of games and it was a lot more fun to come to work.
Sure.
When you're winning 14 games instead of four the previous season. But there is a chicken or the egg we'll debate later in the show. You know, conversation to be had here, where the 14 wins were made possible by guys wanting to be in the building for longer than they wanted to be there last year. But look at some of the big differences. Treatment of families. Last year, F minus. This year, F plus. Food and dining. Last year was up from an F to a D plus. This year, B plus. Let's see, where are some of the other biggest? Training staff went from an F to a B plus, an area where they invested a lot of time and money. Team travel went from an F to an A. How the heck do you go from an F to an A in a year? You try. You work at it. You yep. spend. You ask a lot of questions. You know, Harris and Rails and these owners sit down with players and ask them, what do you need? Head coach Rivera went C to Quinn, A plus. Ownership, year one of the ownership group of B. They listened. They made changes. Now they're an A. Almost unilaterally across the board, everything went up.
And there's no guarantee. Like, if you finish one or two in this, doesn't mean that you're winning 15 games. And, you know, there are gripes with every organization. Like the Bills, for example, who've been a buzzsaw, have been as good as anybody in the sport, I think had like an F when it came to travel, an F minus. Or, you know, you look at some of the different things. Some of it isn't necessarily a guarantee one way or the other. You can have strengths and weaknesses. I mean, Atlanta finished really high, and they've been the definition of mediocre. So it's not always one-to-one. But the point is, you've gone from this old way of doing it previously, where for everybody that used to defend Snyder or say, well, he wants to win or whatever, you had a funny way of showing it. You can do the prize that everybody gets to see, the unsexy thing, the winning thing, the good behavior thing, which is you treat people well. Every once in a while, you may stumble into that. They never could find a way to do so. Whether it was, training table, whether it was, food, whether it was the facility. I mean, again, can you imagine how embarrassed you would be? I'm talking to you, Grant, and then you, everyone else out there listening. If part of your NFL facility, guys had to walk around an unusable turf field that had basically been condemned, basically, like, it's not safe to have people on this field as part of an NFL practice facility. You can't go on it. Because it's like going on the concrete at Veterans Stadium after a million years of wear and tear. You just dealt with that, not for a minute, not for 6 months when we're saving some money, for decades. You couldn't use that thing, And it took Harris an hour. I go, what? We can't use that? Bull crap. We're fixing that right now. That's just what you do. The whole business is supposed to be about winning football games and treating people well. It comes back to you. And I'm proud of him. Honestly, that's awesome.
All right, let me just update something that I said in the opening segment because somebody texted me something and said, make sure you look at all of the players that we've signed here recently. So actually, under contract for next year, they have 46 players technically under contract. But like I said, you know, it's like 29 that would make a depth chart. You know, but they've added, you know, guys like, and you probably not even read these transactions, Aneem Dankwa, you know, Alan George, Valami Fehoko, Norrell Pollard. So there's a lot of, you know, guys out there that they've added. It's 46 total. It's still the second fewest in the league. And so they've got 44 more players to add before they go to work in the spring. So this is going to be very active, but it's roughly 29 or 30 that you would look at and say they would actually be on a depth chart at this point, you know, in terms of being under contract. All right. So yesterday, and we talked about this, it turns out we now know who said it, because I wasn't watching and Denton wasn't watching. We just had people tell us about what was said. Jeremy Fowler, who is a true NFL insider and is able to connect the dots based on information. He said this during the show yesterday about Myles Garrett.
Couple teams.
Okay, and then tell me why I should be thinking about Myles Garrett on the Eagles.
So way early, I'm connecting some dots here, admittedly, but this is a conversation that some people in the league have had, that the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the most aggressive, if not the most aggressive teams on the trade market, will be looking for a pass rusher. Josh Sweat, the Super Bowl likely or close MVP, could be out. The expectation is that he will sign elsewhere, so they're going to have a need there. Myles Garrett, they would not want to see him go to the Washington Commanders, for example. If that was to gain traction, Howie Roseman would likely step in, try to make a deal that is too hard for the Cleveland Browns to refuse. Keep it in mind here, the Browns are a hard no. They're still telling teams they have no interest in trading Myles Garrett. If he were to become available, several teams will be in that. Maybe the Eagles will be one.
First of all, I mean, the fact that the Eagles, that anybody in the NFC East or the NFC in general would be concerned about a player landing in Washington, my God, have times changed for the better, obviously. So here's why I view the Myles Garrett thing as a plus-plus deal. You may have to pay significantly for Myles Garrett because Howie Roseman, as Jeremy Fowler said, could jump in and overpay. You know, imagine Myles Garrett replacing Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat had a fine Super Bowl game. He's no Myles Garrett. You put Myles Garrett on that Philadelphia defense and he stays healthy and plays like Myles Garrett, Philadelphia's odds increase even more so as the favorites to win the Super Bowl. And you'd be starting to look at Philadelphia's defense heading into the season as, on paper, one of the great potential defenses in NFL history. And, of course, we know offensively they're capable as well. Now, defense is variable year to year. We understand that as football fans. It is much more variable than offense is year to year. Sometimes, for whatever reason, defenses are great one year and not so great the next. And then when you're expecting it to be not good, it ends up turning out really great. But they're really talented on defense, not to mention they're young and they're very well coached on defense. So I would view the Myles Garrett conversation, by including the Philadelphia aspect to this, you have to. You know, in looking at whatever the price would be to win that, you know, trade war, if, by the way, there is even a trade competition. Because, as Jeremy Fowler said, and Andrew Berry, the GM in Cleveland, doubled down, tripled down on yesterday, he's not available, according to Cleveland. This is all a conversation based on the possibility that he will become available. If he's not available, he's not available. But if he became available, there would be an absolute war to get Myles Garrett among a number of teams. And given that Cleveland's preference would probably be an NFC team, Washington, Philadelphia, Detroit would be at the top of the list. I had some, where is the thing that I was looking for? The odds on, there were odds posted recently on the trading for, on the trading for Myles Garrett, and Washington was the favorite. Where are those odds?
It was the 33rd team that had Washington 33rd plus team. 275.
Just pulled it up. Just pulled it up. Yep, thank you. Washington per 33rd team's odds is the favorite to land Myles Garrett at plus 275. Buffalo's actually second at plus 400. And then Philly's plus 550. Detroit's plus 700. Chicago's plus 1,200. And Green Bay is plus 1,400. But for the purposes of this conversation, we focus on Philadelphia. You know, this isn't T.J. Duckett we're talking about, where Washington traded for T.J. Duckett back in 2006 at the end of training camp, A, because Clinton Portis had been injured in a preseason game, but he wasn't out for the year, and B, because they didn't want Duckett to go to the Philadelphia Eagles, and they gave up a third and a fourth rounder. I mean, one of the dumbest deals ever. This is Myles Garrett we're talking about. You know, we're talking about Myles Garrett. We're not talking about T.J. Duckett. So trading for Myles Garrett does two things. It puts him on your team, and it massively upgrades your defense and, by extension, your chances to win the Super Bowl. That's the goal now. Okay, the goal now is not to go 9-8 or 10-7 and qualify for the playoffs. The goal now that you have the quarterback is to get to the Super Bowl and win it. So you do that. And then two, you keep them away from the team that you have to beat out in your division to increase significantly your chances of going to the Super Bowl and winning it. Like we've talked about many times, it's not just that Philadelphia is good, it's that they're in your division, which means if you can't win the division, then you're starting on the road, needing to win more likely than not, depending on how the playoffs shake out, three games on the road to get to the Super Bowl. That just doesn't happen a lot. It's happened before, but not, it's very rare. Three on the road to get to the Super Bowl. So I would look at that and I would say, okay, let's just say that internally we believe a first rounder, a second rounder, and a third rounder is the price for Myles Garrett in sort of a standalone, we're just thinking about our team. I would add to the fact that if you're beating out Philadelphia for him, you increase that price because you're getting more in return. I think it's part of the calculus. You've got to beat out Philadelphia. I'm not doing this as cause for alarm or like some belief that they can't beat out Philadelphia now. Of course they can. The NFL changes significantly year to year. We have no idea what's going to happen next year. Philadelphia could lose five starters in the first 3 weeks of the season and end up going 6-11 because of it. We know these things happen. But going in there expecting them to be their best and you to be your best, they're going to be very difficult to beat out. Not impossible, but you let Myles Garrett go there and it becomes even harder. It just does. Well, they're going to give up a lot. Howie Roseman will overpay. Well, Howie Roseman doesn't overpay that much. But remember the position they're in. They just won it. They've been to two in the last 3 years. They've got very, very pretty much etched in stone at this point. The best roster in the NFL. They do. Now, depending on what they lose, I don't think they can afford to lose Zach Bond. I think they can afford to lose Josh Sweat and Milton Williams if they add Myles Garrett or if they add players to replace those players. Remember, they didn't even have N'Kobe Dean after the first playoff game. He was playing as well as anybody on defense was. They'll get him back next year. They've got the best roster in the NFL. Now, do they have the best quarterback in the NFL? They don't. Is he good? Yeah. Is he good when it matters most? Yes. 100% so. But I would look at Washington dealing for Myles Garrett as a twofer. A two for one. You're getting him to upgrade your own chances by improving your defense significantly, and you aren't allowing Philadelphia to add him. You've got to be thinking in terms of, we've got to win more games than the Eagles in 2025, or at least win a tiebreaker if we win the same number of games as the Eagles do. This is no more recalibration talk. You're in the hunt. You're in the mix. You're the eighth favorite right now in the league to win the Super Bowl. You're the third or fourth pick, depending on which sports book you wager through, to win the NFC Championship. These will be the best preseason odds to win the NFC Championship or to win the Super Bowl Washington's had in 25 years. And they're legitimate. It's not fake because of what they have at quarterback. And because they've got a chance with the available cap space, the available roster spots, and I think a belief from a lot of us in Adam Peters in the front office and Dan Quinn and his, you know, EQ, ability to size up people, and they've seemed to have a real feel for the kind of people they want, and that went a long way because it wasn't just talent. I mean, it was far from just talent. The 12-win regular season, the two playoff wins on the road, an NFC championship visit. It was, they created a culture and a locker room that came together. That's front office and coaching, man. It's the combination of your GM and your coach being aligned, having that aligned vision, believing in what the definition of secret sauce is. The Myles Garrett thing becomes a lot more interesting if there is a belief among people in the league that Philadelphia is going to be an active participant in that, and that Howie Roseman won't want to lose that opportunity. And Philadelphia, look, has earned the right at this point to overpay. You know, people thought they overpaid for A.J. Brown. Difference maker. They go for it. And they are a Super Bowl contender. They're the Super Bowl favorite. They would be a bigger Super Bowl favorite landing Myles Garrett. And by the way, it fills a need for them because they're probably not going to re-sign Josh Sweat. All right, we'll do some Denton news next. Walt Williams is going to join us at 11 a.m. to help preview Maryland-Michigan State tonight. Terp fans, this is probably the biggest home game in a few years, 5 years maybe, since they played Michigan State at the end of the 2020 season, right before COVID struck. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to cropmetcalf.com. Join their team today. Nick Dowd will join us in just about 20 minutes from the Washington Capitals. They'll be taking on the Blues tonight at Capital One Arena. Before that, we wanted to do a Commanders bit. A Commanders yes, no men bit with Pete Prisco's list of the top 100 free agents available. Now, we obviously don't have time to do all 100. So we will go 10 to 1, and we'll go around the room and try to figure out who we want, who we don't want to be signed by Adam Peters and company as free agents for said Washington Commanders.
So we went through Washington's free agents yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
EB basically wants to bring them all back.
No.
Out of 28, it was...
Maybe 20.
Just to let you know...
Maybe 18.
The Commanders on this list that are outside of the top 10 Bobby Wagner comes in at 35
yeah.
on this CBSSports.com list. A former Commander, Chase Young, comes in at 45.
Now these are ranking the free agents?
Yes. Correct. Crisco's top 100.
Okay.
And at number 50, he has De'Ami Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay, so those guys are outside of the top 10.
That's pretty high.
Yeah. All right, so we're just going to go rapid fire around the room. At number 50. 10 on this list,
yeah,
Philadelphia Eagles linebacker, Zach Bond.
I'm in.
Yeah, I would like him.
So, yes.
I'm in on all that.
I'd say yes. He's a young, kind of ascending player, and they need linebacker help. They need to get younger at linebacker.
I mean, you'd rather have Bond than Wagner.
I would think.
Yeah. I mean, I would do it so long as you're not bringing back Wagner. I saw reports that Pete Carroll might be interested in Bobby Wagner.
I mean, Pete Carroll just mentioned Bobby Wagner's free agent when he's at the podium. Just out of the blue. Mm. All right, so at number 10, Javon Holland, strong safety from the Miami Dolphins.
I don't know. Where does he rank? I don't know what type of player
he is. He's number 9 on Prisco's list. Here's what I would say. If these are indeed the top 10 free agents, we theoretically should say yes for every one of them
right.
because we know that they were talent deficient.
As far as the blurb on Holland, he's 24. He said he's still a valuable back-end player. He's a good run player, but his coverage suffered some last season.
Okay. Mm.
So if you lose Chin, you're going to need
a
safety.
I'd like either one of those two. I'd take one of those two, Chin or this guy. Sure.
At number 8.
I'd like a 24-year-old.
I bet you would.
Not named Javon.
DJ Reed, corner for the New York Jets.
Now that's where I would really put some money in.
DJ Reed. Now,
but you just that said, I'm going to take it back.
Can
because
I give him
you maybe? Got you just heard Adam Peters say Marshawn Lattimore.
Right.
Like I'm fine with I know a lot of people want to move Sandstrill to a slot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with him on the outside. Like, the guy was up there with pass breakups and everything, so I'm not investing a lot of money in DJ Reed.
I don't know if I want corner to be the new defensive tackle spot for the Commanders where they're pouring a bunch of money into Lattimore and DJ Reed. Like, I feel like with Sanders still, maybe somebody you draft.
Where's he ranked? Where's DJ Reed?
He's number 8 on this list.
Says there's some league personnel who think he might be overrated, but he's a good player who will get great player money.
I'm with the cakes. You can't put too much money in the position.
I'm gonna pass.
You already have given a big money to Marshawn Lattimore. Mm-hmm.
He sucks.
I'm going to say thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to let somebody else sign him.
I don't know enough.
All right, but if Lattimore is not what you thought, then you've got DJ Reed.
That's where I'm going to rely on Peters to find the next
corner. Your nickel.
In the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in at number 7, I'm guessing this is going to be a no because of the position he plays. It seems to be solidified here. Drew Dahlman comes in at number 7. He's a center for the Atlanta Falcons. He's young. He's 26 years old.
Don't need him.
He was limited because of an ankle injury last year, but apparently the top free agent center on the market.
Yeah, he got
Biotic. They went out and spent money on Biotic.
So that's a no.
Yeah.
All right, this guy intrigues me. Milton Williams. He's at number 6 from the Eagles. Defensive end. He's 26 years old. He had 5 sacks during the regular season, but he had a monster playoffs and Super Bowl.
Yes.
You need help along the defensive line.
I don't want to pay him great player money, but yes.
He's a defensive end.
I like
with 5 sacks.
He's listed as a defensive end, but I think he can play both.
I just like that you're taken from the Eagles.
Right.
I really like that.
I don't know if I love that. I would say no because I mean you got 10 plus sacks from Dante Fowler.
What if Fowler doesn't resign?
Well, I'm going to go prioritize. I'm going to say no because I'm going
to
prioritize Fowler over him.
With more playing time or whatever.
Maybe.
I'm
going to
say yes on Milton Williams.
I'm yes on all the Eagles free agents.
Prisco's last sentence on him. He's 26 and ready to make big money.
Why, wouldn't you want a 26-year-old over a 31-year-old?
Yes.
See, I see him listed as defensive tackle more so than defensive end. But
interchangeable.
All right, coming up next, we have back-to-back offensive linemen. At number 5, get that Stanley, Ronnie Stanley from the Ravens. Now, he's 31 years old, so age and injury could be a factor.
How many games has he played?
He plays left tackle.
Has he played a lot or has he been hurt?
I'd have to pull up his game.
Played the entire season, 24.
He played the entire season last season, and then before that he had a couple nagging injuries throughout his career.
So it was kind of it was unusual that he played a full season.
Mm-hmm. 2020, he played 6 games. 2021, he played 1 game.
Ooh.
2022, 11. 2023, 13. Then this year, 17.
Yeah, so it's unusual. First time he ever played a full season.
I'm going to say no. He's a little bit long in the tooth, and I think his price tag is going to be high.
I'd rather have the guy who's next.
At number 4, now this guy's 5 years younger, Trey Smith, guard for the Kansas City Chiefs.
What's his deal?
26.
You just like 26.
Well, I mean, I'd rather have a 26-year-old than a 31-year-old.
Yeah.
Good in the run.
Although
they played different positions. His ding on him, according to Prisco, didn't have a great Super Bowl. Like, he didn't really flash in the Super Bowl on the biggest stage, but none of the Chiefs had a good Super Bowl. They got manhandled by the Eagles in that game.
Now, he's played pretty much every game of his career. 17, 16, 17, 17. Right. So I would be interested in him.
All right, here are your top three. I know EB is going to be a yes on this guy. Josh Sweat, linebacker.
Yeah. I want all those Eagles.
Led the Eagles in sacks during the regular season with 8. Didn't get any in the playoffs, then had 2.5 in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but say you can only afford one of those guys. So you said yes to a couple of them. Is Sweat top of your list?
Maybe then Bond. Then the other guy, which I don't think you've mentioned yet.
Sweat, yeah. He's number three.
Sweat
on
comes
list.
In at number three.
No, I think
list.
He's mentioned all the Eagles now.
You did? Yeah. You mentioned
Bond
the Williams
was 10.
Side? I thought
the,
was
Bond Williams.
Williams is number 6 on this list.
Okay.
All right, now you're into the big boys. Number 2, T. Higgins.
I don't know. They keep saying that we're still like high up there on the potential landing spots for him. I just don't see him.
I think the price is going to be way too exorbitant. Especially if they franchise tag him again, you have to trade for him, surrender picks, give him big money.
All right, but what if he isn't?
Prisco's right up at 26. T. Higgins is in the prime of his career. He's been the number 2 receiver in Cincinnati, but now has his chance to show he's a true number 1. He's big and coming off a season with 10 touchdowns in 12 games. His market will be robust.
Yeah. Are you a yes on Higgins? I think I'm a no.
I like Higgins.
How old is he?
I'm a yes on. He's 26. I mean, a yes on Higgins if the price is right.
Jaden can throw to McLaurin and Higgins?
Yes. It's pretty nice.
Now, you got to give him $30 million a year.
This is not free agent related. It's draft related, but it made my pants move a little bit when I saw it. Mm. You saw the Commanders.
Did you have hot sauce in your pants?
No. I did not. Mm. I know better than to eat Taco Bell while I'm attempting to drive. Commanders have requested a meeting with Ashton Jenty.
He ain't going to be
there.
He's
not dropping that far.
I can't hit the ding button.
That's the little
he's not going to be
29. Stubby running back.
He won't be there at 29, but I'm telling you.
If you trade up to get him.
You could trade up.
Sure.
If he starts slipping down the board, if people pass on
him. I just want the record to show you're advocating trading up for a running back, a position which you have personally pooped on for a decade.
I have pooped on it. I will not dispute that. But he is not your typical old school plotter, two downs, then comes out running back. He's like Christian McCaffrey. He's like Jahmyr Gibbs. That kind of running back I'm into.
The tide is turning. There's talk that there could be 3 running backs drafted in the first round.
Right.
No, for sure there's a resurgence. I get it.
If you're a running back that does everything, I'm into you. If you just carry the ball for 3.5 yards, like certain running backs that were guests on this show, not that interested in you.
I personally would not trade up for him.
I wonder who that was.
I personally would not trade up for him.
I'd rather have.
If I were Peters and he's available 20 to 22, I would
trade rather Trevion Henderson slip and take him.
Okay, that could be the scenario too. All right, so T. Higgins is number 2, and nobody's going to be interested in the number 1 guy in this list.
No.
Sam Darnold comes in at number 1.
No.
Prisco thinks he's going to command a deal near $40 million.
Does he have
season.
Mariota in his top 100? No.
I'd have to go down probably close to 100 to find Mariota, but I didn't go
because
that far
we were alleged,
on the list.
We were being sort of led to believe that there were going to be other suitors.
Jameis Winston comes in at 88.
I would rather have Mariota than Jameis, I would think.
I don't see Mariota unless he's ahead of Jameis.
Although I would advocate to sign Jameis if they wanted to.
I mean, he's got Russell
Wilson.
Just for
entertainment purposes.
Oh, my gosh. Do you realize
he's the funniest guy in the league.
Do you realize how great it would be?
And he's actually, now he'll throw picks.
Yeah,
but
he throws touchdowns.
You know
he can be prolific.
He throws the ball downfield.
Oh, he's got
that dude
big
takes
arm.
Shots.
Hey, if we lose Mariota, can we sign Jameis?
No, I don't want that because I want Jameis to play, and we don't want him to play here.
Right. Yeah, I don't want him to play.
You
want to
see him on the field, give him pregame speeches.
I don't think he needs to play to do the pregame speeches.
Yeah, but when he's talking to reporters, you know, on the sideline, we need Jameis to play.
All right,
somewhere.
No, he's not. He's not in the top 100.
If I'm Joe Shane, I'm the Giants GM, and I miss out on Matt Stafford, I'd call Jameis Winston as a bridge quarterback.
Is he
for a year or two?
Is Jameis though ultimately better than Daniel Jones?
No,
I think he is.
Throws too many picks.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think he's way better than
Way
Daniel
more
Jones.
Entertaining, but I don't know if he's better.
I liked Jones because he could actually run a little bit, but he just a horrible decision maker. Now, Jameis can be a bad
decision maker
too.
Yeah.
But go look at some of his game logs with the Browns. Like, that dude is putting up numbers.
Well, he throws it, but you ain't winning games with Jameis.
Look at Daniel Jones' numbers against us.
Well, you always go back to that.
He was Superman against the Commanders.
Destroy us.
He stunk against everybody else.
All right, you want to go real quick to John? Let's go to John. Hey, buddy. John in Richmond.
Hey, John.
Boys, you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Thank you.
So I'm not even a Commanders fan anymore. Dan Snyder pushed me off of that. But I heard you talking the other day about this guy. I hate him. I had the Chargers over 11.5, so I watched with intent the whole season for this pump of a Joey Bosa. Do not sign this guy. He's probably going to get cut. He's horrible. All he does is run around and jump on the pile. Please. I don't even care about the Commanders, but I can't watch this guy.
So it's cautionary tale. Stay away from Joey Bosa is what you're saying.
Correct. Like you remember those guys in like, you know, high school football? They the pile happens. Here comes this guy diving on the top. Oh, great tackle. He sucks. I hate him.
We had that guy here.
That was cool.
We had that guy in the early 2000s. His name was Bruce Smith. He jumped on every
I haven't
pile.
Heard Joey Bosa's name attached to the Commanders.
No, but I know they're probably gonna cut him because of salary cap. And I think they're looking for defensive linemen. He's got that big name. So hopefully Adam Peters doesn't fall in the Dan Snyder trap, you know, try to go for the big name. And
no, beyond that. That dude is Peters is way beyond just going for big names.
Please.
Yeah, he's not going to.
He's actually good at his job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unlike some of the other clowns that have come through the personnel offices here over the years.
Right.
So far. First year, home run.
Now, if Marshawn Lattimore sucks this upcoming year, that's going to be the first big red X on Adam Peters.
Do you honestly think that Marshawn Lattimore, at this stage of his career, after what you saw last year towards the end of the year, is going to revert back to shutdown corner?
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I don't think that. That's crazy.
He could be better. I'm not saying it could be a shutdown. He could be better than he was. Yeah. If he's not, then it's a whiff.
Yeah.
Here's what I think. I think Malik Nabers and CeeDee Lamb and A.J. Brown, I don't think they're afraid of Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, I don't think
that those guys.
You're probably
give
right.
One F
or
about
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans is not afraid of him.
None of those guys. They're not afraid of Marshawn Lattimore. They may have been at one point. I don't know if they are presently.
What's the combine schedule like? Are they really starting to get after it today? Like, are we going to get to see
positions that are going?
No, I think it's Friday when it really ramps up.
Well, like, I even mean like the weightlifting and the like the vertical and all that stuff. Maybe the less glamorous stuff.
Look it up for you.
Workouts start Thursday.
Today's Thursday. Last time I checked.
Thursday. Defensive linemen and linebackers,
ooh.
3 o'clock.
Ooh.
Tomorrow, DBs, tight ends, 3 o'clock.
So that's when
o'clock.
You actually see them on the field running drills.
Saturday, quarterbacks, receivers, RBs, 1 o'clock. Sunday, O linemen, you don't really care
so
about.
So are we going to see them like run 40 today or no?
I would assume.
They all do it by position group,
yeah,
right?
Sure. Right. You're going to see some big fatties running like 4.9s.
Amazing.
You're going to be blown away by it.
Amazing.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk some Washington Capitals hockey with Nick Dowd from the Caps. He'll join us next here on The Fan.
Can't stand it. I'm going to set it straight, this Watergate. B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. B. holding it down in the Navy Yard studio. I'm out in Indianapolis, Indiana, live at the NFL Scouting Combine. Did I drop or did the music just drop?
Just turn it off.
Okay. All right. That had me worried for a second. Lot going on, B. I thought we should check in with the stream. A lot of folks are watching. Seems like folks are all fired up about the John Allen news. What does your gut tell you, B, if they're not able to get a trade done in the next 3 weeks? Not even three, is it? All right, today's the 25th. How many weeks is it till March 12th, Brian? It looks like 2 weeks.
March 12th, a little bit over 2 weeks.
2 weeks in a day. I think this is headed towards a release, don't you?
Yeah. If they're going to do right by him, they give him a chance to find a trade.
you don't give your release, and you can talk to everybody.
Yeah, and if you're going to end up releasing them, you typically would do it earlier than later. Yeah. Like so the tampering period opens on the 10th. It'd be like a Sunday night, the 9th. Doing right by a player means not holding on to them to screw up their opportunity at the full free agent market.
Totally.
That's like, if you want an example of doing wrong by a player, I'll give you one. How Ron handled Morgan Moses a few years back when they didn't release Moses. Sometimes there is a second wave of free agency after the draft, and that's not ideal for players, but at least it happens. I think Moses got released late in the cycle and really limited what his options were. Some of that was a result of Leno getting released in Chicago after the draft, but still, ideally, if you're going to do right by an NFL player, let them have a crack at at free agency when the big old pie opens up in March.
Guys know that there's a possibility. So if someone were to be in that position, give them more time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And nobody's – I mean, B, you had the line of the day. You said, hell, it happened to Joe Montana. Like, these things happen. Yeah. It's totally. It's real life. I think if you're – it's about managing your situation well. And John was a good player for them, and they like him. But this is how real organizations are run.
Totally.
And I think we're going to hear about lots of other guys on lots of other teams maybe getting released. And I'll be fascinated kind of what happens with the Niners, honestly, just because they can talk about wanting to trade Debo all they want, but they're not going to keep him on their books. It's entirely possible he hits free agency.
You got a point. And do you gamble with that as your team that wants him and wait and see if they release him?
It gets hard to think they won't. But I don't know. They will take a dead money hit on it. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal, John. Once you agree to a situation where you can seek a trade, it means you're not coming back. And
more likely.
One way or another, that's what it means. Hmm. I think, dude, if you look at the Niners' cap compared to Washington's cap. Now, granted, San Francisco was in two Super Bowls over the last 4 years. Like, there's a reason they are loaded. But Washington only has three players currently with a cap number north of $20 million. And one of those is John Allen, who probably won't be here in 2 weeks. San Fran has four, and then another four making over 10 mil.
Yeah, that's what I mean by it. The way they're situated, there's much more stress on them and expectation than it is on Washington.
100%, yeah. Dude. 100%.
That's why we can talk about how much we want about what they've done over the years. What they did last year, that comes into play.
Totally. Here's what I want to do. I want to open these phones up. We haven't even got to talk to the boys in the aquarium today. Jeff's running the show. Mr. Mullins has the day off. There's a lot going on. I think what has been the overwhelming result on the stream, White Brian, what have folks said about John Allen, kind of the reaction there in real time?
What I'm looking at is like people are offering up other people. You know, let me go back. Some people are giving him, you know, say good luck somewhere else. See, that's what I mean. He always stayed and signed autograph. That doesn't make the team a difference. You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm coming from. Like, people do go on that, but you got different things. It's not all one way or the other.
B, did I tell you I got a comment? I'm not going to say who it's from, but my man this morning or last night sent me a DM, said, rumor has it that Peters is working to get Max Crosby and Myles Garrett.
We going to get Max Crosby and Garrett?
I just said that seems impossible.
Yeah, that's a little strange right there.
Like,
so you going to trade for both of them? So now we're going into this draft with no picks.
Yo, and
next year neither?
And they currently have the 29th pick. Is that moving for either of those dudes?
Nah,
right.
Nah.
I I also, it was kind of interesting. As much as I've thought Stafford leaving makes a ton of sense, Joe Shane, the Giants GM, really seemed hesitant to push forward on that whatsoever. All right, here's what we're going to do. Open these phone lines up. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. John Allen, on the trade block, would you move him? Are you mad they're going to? What do you think you should get in return? And what is the biggest haul out there? Nobody go anywhere. It's be Mitch and Finley.
Great spot with Eric Flack with great details on the RFK site and the likely lack of parking that's going to be available. It's going to be garages very likely. They have to swing a bunch of deals to make this all work. So there's going to be housing and there's going to be hotels and there's going to be retail and all kinds of things. And the point is there's not going to be tailgating at all, maybe. And if there is, very, very limited amounts of it. And we want to know with from those of you that go to the games and tailgate, how big of a deal breaker would that be? Because I think there are two kind of camps on this.
Yep.
I get the sense you don't think it's as big of a deal, just hearing some of your questions and thoughts. But you don't go to the games necessarily. And for someone who tailgates every weekend, I think it's a huge deal. Like, to me, this is – I was just texting a couple of the people that I tailgate with, and they're like, yeah, this would be awful. This is an absolute disaster. And there are people that feel that way. It's our 106.7 The Fan Grant and Danny poll of the day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Right now, of the respondents, 41% are saying it's a deal breaker, which is way higher than I would have thought, by the way. 34% are saying it would lessen their experience. So that's 75% of people are saying basically this would make things worse for me. And then 16% are saying not a big deal at all. 8% are saying they're indifferent. So that's about a quarter of the folks that either don't care or, you know, wouldn't be bothered by it. And there's workarounds in the sense that ideally, there will be bars, there will be restaurants. But, Danny, that means how many people are in the bars,
right?
How busy are they, what kind of service am I getting, how much more expensive is that? The answer is a lot, by the way.
Very much so, yeah. There's an upcharge coming, yeah. I mean, you and I were in New Orleans, and so it all depends on what's offered, too, right? You go to that that New Orleans situation, you show your ticket half mile from the stadium, you're in the grounds, you can get your beers. If you had something awesome like that, but the band's playing and everybody's making merry.
So for people that haven't been there really quick, let me just start to cut you off. Basically, we're talking about like a bigger bullpen for Nats games.
Yeah, precisely.
Something like that.
Great way to put it. Just half mile off Bourbon Street. So you can never recreate that exactly. But still, and that was pretty good. So I wonder for the people that are going, it's a deal breaker. If you experience that, would you hate it as much? It's different. But let me just offer this super quick. You're right. I don't go to Nubs Field and don't intend to. I hate it and won't do it. I would go to a new cool stadium. And when I did go and went even RFK back in the day or went to Nubs Field, tailgating wasn't as huge a part of my experience. That doesn't change the fact that I have lots of empathy. I 100% do for those that it is a huge deal. So it's not something, just because it wasn't a huge deal for me doesn't mean I don't understand completely
right.
The way some people are going to feel. And I guess my questions and they're leading in this following direction. I don't know how to tell you guys this. I think this is inevitable. I think this is going to be the way of things. Now, I don't know that the NFL is probably going to do enough to win you over. I do think you heard Eric's sentiment, not that he's the one delivering it, but he's kind of the messenger. There's a little bit more just deal with it than I would like. Take care of these incredible fans that go out and, you know, get there at 8 o'clock in the morning for a 1 o'clock game and are, you know, grilling their chicken and doing everything in between. It's part of that experience. And it's, you know, sort of this collegial thing that's essential to so many people's football experiences. I do have a lot of sympathy to that. I guess kind of my point is, if you would like a really nice stadium, that when RFK's built, it didn't cost $2.5 billion. This new one's about to, right? If you want a nice stadium, it's got to have all this crap. It's got to have all the things on it to make it viable for the local municipality, which means tailgating is going to lower in priority. It's a trade-off. I think it's inevitable. I think it stinks, and I feel for you guys, but I also don't know that there's anything you can do about it.
So I agree to an extent with the inevitability point, but what's inevitable is less tailgating, less a priority, not no tailgating, which is kind of what we're talking about. We're very, very limited. We're talking about a stadium that would have some of the least tailgating available to it, probably, based on Flack's reporting, in the entire league.
Just like Minnesota is, yeah.
And in this situation, and in Minnesota, because it's frigid and freezing for much of the year, and where the stadium is, that just has never really been a big part of what they do. Go tell Chiefs fans at Arrowhead Stadium, at their new place, that they're not going to tailgate. They'd riot, right? There is a culture to it.
Yep.
And frankly, it's one of the few things that actually is, I don't want to say if it's part of the, if there is a culture at Northwest Stadium, but tailgating is a big, big part of it, right? Also, in this situation, the reason the inevitability argument doesn't work that well with me is because there's two possibilities for a stadium right now. One is D.C., the other is Maryland. And there would be next to no tailgating in D.C., and there would be a lot of tailgating in the Maryland location. Would it be less than the acreage of 140-plus acres of parking lots at the current stadium? Yes, but it would be massively more. And people that want to tailgate would be able to tailgate at another 2.0 stadium out there, and that's not the case in D.C. But let's go to the phones. Let's see what people think. They're loaded, 800-636-1067. We'll talk to Rami in Falls Church. What's up, buddy?
Hey, it's Rami. How you guys doing?
Hey, bud.
Hey, so back in the day when I was going to college, a little bit about me. We went to Catholic University, and we did a project on the RFK site to redevelop it to bring the Olympics here. And we calculated that you could fit the same parking spaces that are at RFK here and have, I think it was like 30,000 square feet of rentable mixed-use space. So it can be done. And then we had an alternative plan where we developed boats and a dock. So maybe we change tailgating from cars, and sometimes, you know, we offset a little bit with boat tailgating, and then we have some more car parking. And then the last thing is the Brown site that's across from the NAC stadium. That's all empty too. So imagine that's the parking space there, and then you ferry them up to the stadium when it's game time.
Like you're coming up with, I don't mean to jump on you, because you're coming up with decent workarounds. That's not what people want. people want to get out of their car and set up their chairs and their table and their grill and start grilling and then pull their TV out and watch the NFL Red Zone. That's what tailgating is. So could you go to a boat? Could I drag a cooler and a bunch of crap somewhere else? Could I go to this one location? Yeah, it's possible. When I was at the Brown Stadium, I don't remember even why I was over there. Why would we have been in Cleveland a couple of years ago? It doesn't matter.
You in Cleveland, man?
I was walking around down by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the Brown Stadium is over there, right?
Yep.
And when I was there, there was this lot that basically you don't get to park there, but it's where you could go to tailgate, essentially. And I was asking people about it. I'm like, this is really is that what this is? They're like, yeah, it's a big pain in the butt. You got to drag all your stuff, then take it back to your car and go in. That's just not the same. So is it a possible workaround? Yes. But that's not really the point, I don't think. Kevin's in Lanham. What's up, Kevin?
What's going on, Grand Danny? Love you guys, man. Listen.
Appreciate you.
I'm a season ticket holder, 10 years, and I'm tired of everybody telling me just deal with it. We have to deal with the name, just deal with it. And now you're going to tell us we got to deal with not having tailgating. It's a culture thing, especially pre- and post-game. Sometimes at the post-game, the players come out to us, and we take pictures, and they even mingle with us. It's a part of our culture for our football. And I'm just tired of everybody telling us to deal with it. Nobody's even talking about, on top of that, you're going to have to purchase PSLs, personal seat license. It's like they're trying to make this NFL experience now only for the haves and not the have-nots. In my adult life, I've finally been able to afford to buy season tickets for myself, but it's just becoming a rich man's game now. It's
totally
like,
agree. Yep.
Facts.
I don't argue with a single thing you just said. It's the unfortunate thing, because the demand is so high. Because it is, they can, you know, when you hear, we got to renovate the stadium, we don't really need to renovate the stadium. You need more luxury boxes so you can make more money, more premium seats, more, you know, more on the wood or whatever for the different arenas. And I totally understand that. The goal, it's the nasty trade-off. It's the dirty little secret in this thing that's for everybody. Everybody can consume it, but not everyone can consume it in a certain way. And that's 100% the reality, and it's also where we're headed. And I don't think it's fair. His sentiment is exactly right to me, GP. The fans, you just have to deal with it.
Yeah.
I hate that, but I don't know how to avoid it.
This is not going to be 100%, but I really do think, I was telling Darius this, because Darius was saying, the tailgating thing doesn't bother me that much. And I'm like, I think this is going to be a, do you go to a lot of games or not kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go to a game or two a year, and then you probably don't care as much. But if you're a season ticket holder, yep, or someone who 10 times a year spends 12 hours or whatever out in Landover, I promise you a big part of your day is hanging out with all your buddies, having your food and your drinks at your price, not having to pay a bunch of money when you go into the stadium or to bars or restaurants. And by the way, I was first team all, let's take the Wizards and the Capitals across the river, because I love the idea of the little town center thing. But there's not a culture of tailgating in basketball or in hockey.
No, it's different. It's you get off work and go to the game.
I go to 40 Caps games a year. I've never once thought about tailgating outside of the arena somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Football is different in that regard. Tom's in Fairfax. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing? My thought is, historically, with the Redskins, the Washington football team, and now the Commanders, those that have the season ticket holders, they're the ones that primarily the ones that are out there every other week or every weekend tailgating, having a good time and all that stuff. So they're the ones that the new ownership should be thinking, hey, as opposed to the last caller, where deal with it, you can't. You gotta reward those that have been faithful to the team throughout the past decades when they weren't that great. And it's just time that if the new ownership group can't find it, then, you know, maybe they go somewhere else. I don't know, but
would you consider it a deal breaker, Tom?
Absolutely.
Like, you would rather stay in Maryland at a site over by Landover and have a nice tailgating situation than be back at RFK?
Yeah, definitely.
I wonder how popular that sentiment is.
I get it.
I mean, I do too. I'm not criticizing him. I wonder how many people took
that stance publicly. I'd have to think longer and harder about it. But I can tell you that I don't think going back to RFK is nearly as romantic and amazing and awesome as everyone else seems to think that it would be. I want to be in the city, period. That's my interest in the RFK site, is that I want the football team to be in Washington, D.C. I want metro access to the stadium. But if it was an RFK and it was the Navy Yard, now there's no space, but let's just say Audi Field didn't exist and you could do something there, then that's cool for me. But I'm telling you that not having tailgating would be a real big problem for me. Like, it's just part of the experience. And I work these games, so I don't get to tail. I might swing through and grab a burger and high-five some people and go on my way. But in a future world where I'm not doing this and I'm taking my two sons to the game and we're just going to spend the day, the tailgate is the point. I mean, we are hanging out. I'm doing my solo stove on a chilly day. We're putting our feet up. We're in chairs, and we're watching, Scott Hansen in 2036 on Red Zone on the back of our, tailgate. It's just part of it. It's football, man. You can't have a football game without tailgating, and I get your point. It's happening more and more and more. But there is an option here where it doesn't have to be that way.